Hello, I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to my favorite internet radio show, Hacker Voice Radio. It's even more yummy than ice cream.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. You're listening to us live on the 15th of February 2006. And it's the day after the aftermath of Valentine's Day.
Did you have a good one?
No comment. I don't know who's listening.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I can neither confirm nor deny anything happened.
Yes. But if anyone's listening, yes, it was fucking, yeah, it was great. Yes, some home improvements on the website front. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I have written in a little podcast player. If you go to the show section of the website, you can stream the episodes live straight onto your browser. It's browser independent. All you need is Shockwave, and you can get all our podcasts and all that kind of jazz straight from there. If you have problems with downloading them or can't download them or want a quick fix of Hacker Voice Radio. Because Hacker Voice Radio is new with added lemon zest.
Ooh.
For your protection and her pleasure.
That's a cool little feature you found there, though, mate.
Yeah.
I had a quick play about with it when you announced it the 13th, I think you put it on the forums. I had a quick go at it. I thought, wow! It launches like a miniature flash Winamp.
That's right.
It's
really
cool, and it just starts playing straight away.
Mm. It's very flexible. It's skinnable. It can pick up anything, any source of playlists. Right now, I've set it up to take from our RSS feed, which makes it even more flexible. And I used to have a version of that playing when I used to run another website, and I thought, why not just introduce it to us? The license cost like £14 or something. I thought that wasn't very much, I just thought, well, I'll give it a go, and hopefully people will like it. I think Droops likes it. He said he has to get that baby on hackermedia.org, and it's very cool.
Yeah.
And that's about it as far as that kind of stuff goes. I don't know if you've had any emails or anything like that.
No, it's been pretty quiet at my end.
Yeah. So, what do we have in store for all these lovely ladies and gentlemen? Well, recently there's been a lot of governmental hype and media interest in what's going to happen to certain laws and liberties that we currently, well, used to possess, such as the freedom of not to have compulsory identification and the ability to be able to smoke in all public bars and places. However, these past 2 days have changed the face of personal liberty. You can no longer smoke in any pub, bar, nightclub, or private club, or any public confined space. You are now forced to carry an ID card. Once you have to upgrade your passport or get a new one. So, certain things in our comforts have changed. I think the one that will greatly affect us will be the smoking ban. You know?
Yep. I'm quite surprised to see it happen. Because when they started to bring it in, they were trying to pussyfoot around and please everyone. And say, yeah, well, you know, it's not fair on people who don't smoke in pubs, it's not fair on the bar staff. You know, but a lot of people do smoke, and it's kind of their decision if they want to kill themselves.
Yeah.
So let's reach a middle ground where you can't smoke near food.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said, that's bollocks, that will never work. So they've done the intelligent thing, and I'm a smoker myself, so I'm not that chuffed about it, but it is the intelligent move.
Yes.
Either do it or don't do it. And they've gone ahead and just said, look, no smoking in pubs. There you go.
Mm.
So
personally, I think it will help a lot of people to quit.
We've
had that experience when we went over to New York.
Yeah.
It was like, you really can't smoke full stop anywhere and enjoy the comfort of the comfort that you have, the pleasure that you associate with. You're in a pub, you have a fag, you have more cigarettes, you can smoke 20 in like the space of 3 hours in a pub. I've done it myself. I'm sure you know you're quite aware of that as well. No longer can you do this. You have to get the hell out of that place to smoke, and you have to freeze your ass off depending on what the kind of temperature is, and you know, huddle up like penguins to take, you know, pulls on these fags. So I believe that this will actually somehow force people into quitting, which is actually, funny enough, a good thing. I don't know, I can't say I'm too against it. The only reason why I'm against it is because they're doing this forcefully, in a way, you know? But then again, maybe they have no choice. You're coming through very crackled. Let me just call you again there, buddy. Hello.
Hello.
Whoa, that's really, really crackled,
anything
buddy.
Anything there?
Very, very broken up. That's weird for Google. Hello. Let me quit that. Let's see what's happening here. Let's pause this, baby. Yeah.
It's kind of got the same thing, so it can be read then by a biometric scanner. Is that right? Now, if, you know, the government's now got every single person's details.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, I use a biometric USB flash drive.
Mm-hmm.
They could read our files from that. They wouldn't have to go through anything. I mean, I know obviously that, you know, they wouldn't exactly bother coming into my house and using my flash drive, but I mean, for bigger things, for example, if they could then claim people's things, they could just wander into anywhere. Sorry, just a little thought I had. I don't know why. It doesn't make much of a sense why they would, but I don't know. It kind of brings back the whole thing of they have everybody's details. They have your fingerprints there on file.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Fucked up, man.
Well, just next to that, I saw in the one of the talkback things on the same page, on the ZNet page,
mm-hmm.
It just made me laugh. There's a little comment that was just on the side put by a guy called Lou, who's a human resources officer.
Right.
And he said, Dell sucks. Call centers in India are crap. They are unhelpful. Good man.
That's very true. I had to ring them yesterday. I got through to 4 different people.
And how fun was it?
It was awful. It's like having your balls put in a vice. You're calling someone.
How many times did you have to repeat the same thing over and over?
At least 4, because they put me through to 4 different people in the same department. It's not as if I called IT support to ask about a customer order. You know, I called up the right department, and they said, I don't know. And the delays were so bad. Between me speaking and the woman at the other end hearing me, and then her speaking and me hearing her, so I'm giving her the customer number, and she's reading it back to me to confirm it.
Yeah,
it took ages. It's like, you know, 0193, 30 seconds of silence. Okay, 0193, 30 seconds of silence. Yes, that's correct. 30 seconds of silence. Oh, it was awful. That's not customer support.
No.
That's pissing off your customers, that is.
It's the same with the Microsoft one now as well. I mean, you know when you're like you're registering Windows XP, for example.
No,
you're
I don't.
In work. No, but I mean, basically, I had to go through and I had to stick XP Professional on a laptop for someone at work. As I'm going through installation, it wouldn't take my key, so it asked me for the register. So I thought, crap, it's not working. I thought, okay,
yeah.
I'm gonna be good here, and I'm gonna ring up Microsoft, and I'm gonna ask for a new one. I'm gonna say, can I have this? I've got the one CD. I've got a CD key for once. And, let's get it sorted. So I rung them up.
Yeah.
I sat there for about half an hour with a lady who didn't understand a word I was saying. I mean, fair enough if they can speak English. That doesn't bother me at all. It's when they don't actually understand a word you're saying. And so I was trying to explain it to her. Have you got a legal copy of Microsoft Windows? Yes, I work for a company. This is all the details that I have on here. Are you sure you have a legal copy of Microsoft Windows? Yes, I do. I mean, I gave all the
details. Are you sure?
Yeah, and they're sitting there going, I'm sorry, we do not have these details on there. It's not a correct license keeper. I'm sitting there, this is my company's one. We've used this for centuries. I mean, come on, And then we went on for absolutely hours, and then she goes, I'm sorry, I cannot give you a new one because you are using a legal copy of Microsoft Windows. It's like, okay, this is the only time I haven't.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. And, I said, well, so I basically hung up and said, you're fine, I'll go back to Linux, goodbye.
Yeah.
And it's pathetic. The customer support has just disappeared nowadays in IT companies.
It has.
So I think my Jack Daniels is kind of getting to me a bit now.
No, I shouldn't really say it, but you remember that time when Gtalk crapped out on us? Basically, I paused the recording. Half an hour later, I unpaused it.
Right.
How many times do I have to fuck up before I learn this shit?
Whoops.
I don't know. Well, let's just keep on going, I guess. Unless somebody has any timelines or deadlines or time frames.
Well, apparently I have to call back the person who called.
Oh. Put him on the show.
To the toilet.
I'm sure he'd be happy. He's a model.
Oh.
Yes. He'd probably just go, ooh, people can see me. It's like, no, it's a radio show. Oh, shit.
Oh, damn. I'm not interested.
Yes. Yeah, see, people appreciate what hackers can do, but they never actually give thanks.
No.
It's like, all my friends, they're all like, oh, do you know how to help me out with this, and do you know how to help me out with that, and, oh, I'm thinking about moving to this operating system or that operating system, and you explain everything to them.
Yeah.
They turn around and say, oh, okay, yeah, that's done, okay, and they just get on with it. No thanks. It's like, I've been so good to people. Man, I drank too much Jack Daniels, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but you get very little thanks in this kind of line of work, privately or kind of work-related. And when things go bad, then you get the fucking bollocks ripped out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always your fault if something breaks down.
Mm. And it's always the thing that you never really fucking deal with that you have to, like, fix, if you see what I mean.
Mm.
I don't know if you get that planet, but it's like, oh, the roof's leaking. Let's get planet to fix that.
Yeah, I have the same thing. It's like someone turns to me and says, oh, the coffee machine upstairs isn't working. Can you go fix it for me? Yes, okay. I'm trained in networking. Of course, I'll just go get my Cat5 cable and plug it into the coffee machine and all will be well.
Do you get that kind of thing, planet?
All the bloody time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have thought you wouldn't, because
one thing. You can fix everything.
Yeah, I thought you wouldn't, because you work in a pretty smallish company, and maybe so people haven't learned the fact that you deal with only IT kind of stuff.
No, they still think I'll fix anything, because the problem is, I kind of make a rod for my own back. I know no one else is going to get the arse and have a go at it.
Yeah.
So it's like the phone system. What you're meant to do is call the engineers when that screws up.
Yeah.
But I know if you flick two buttons off and turn them back on simultaneously, it'll probably be all right.
Yeah.
So I go and do that, and now I'm the bloody phone engineer as well. I'm getting all these questions about phones, and how do you forward calls, how do you conference calls, I say, I don't know.
Yeah, it does make me laugh. I mean,
but do you get any pay? Do you get paid any extra for doing that?
Hell no.
Exactly.
Like you say, you don't even get a, oh, thank you.
Strike, 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 strike.
Let's call an IT strike. Everyone out.
We want more RAM. When do we want it? Now. We want more RAM. When do we want it? Now.
Definitely. And if you like, I'd like a new graphics card, please.
But I think, can you imagine if, like, we didn't turn up to work? That'd be so screwed.
In my job, no one would notice. It's quite depressing.
Oh. Mm. Well, I'm sure if Planet didn't turn up, they wouldn't be able to call anyone.
That's the beauty of it. You can't get me out of bed.
Yeah.
The phones aren't working. No, I have had that in the past where you have a day off and they call up for some just random bullshit that you could fix in the office by saying, don't be so stupid. You know, you're fine, don't worry about it. Just because you got an email that said, you might have a virus, download so-and-so's special virus protector now and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you've actually got a virus. Don't worry about it. I actually got called into work on one of my days off to go and tell them that. They couldn't describe it over the phone. They just called me up and said, virus, 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 help, virus.
Virus, virus, fuck, virus, help, I'm coming out.
So I'm it is. In there expecting the worst, expecting all the network to be half deleted and thinking, oh crap, are the backups okay? And it was just an email that was spam, basically.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, download our virus protector and you might not have viruses.
Yeah.
Oh. You could have read this out over the phone to me and told you to stop being stupid. But mad.
Just people get virus crazy at the moment.
Hitting them over the head with a keyboard.
Yeah.
There, it's fixed.
It's like, for example, you know the Millennium Bug?
Yeah.
And there's the whole field's on that. When that came out, and everyone was getting all worried about it, my company put on a course for it. Now, you know, it was a one-day course, they could charge £500 per person to tell them,
you're okay.
Change your date. Change your date to an earlier date, and you'll be fine for the moment. You know, it's not going to go over to zero and melt down. It's just, everyone's, you know, got so paranoid of it, and that they made... I'm talking thousands over something that really was not going to be a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just laughing at the what Planet wrote.
Just for the listeners, I've really got to take a poo. I'll try typing it in IRC to be sly.
Modest.
I don't like to leave the listeners out the loop. So. Sure.
Well, we'll see you in 10 to 15 minutes then, mate.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bring the microphone with you. And as I was saying... No, it's... What can you do when... you know, I used to work as like a kind of... self-employed renegade IT kind of person. And you know, one day of work I was doing painting and decorating. Then from lunchtime I was setting up the whole phone network, literally wiring up the whole building with telephones. And then in the evening I was setting up their whole computer network. So it's like, it's fucking crazy from like going from manual labor to slightly more, you know, intellectually. With like, I didn't even have a butt set or anything. All I had was fucking screwdriver and that was it.
Yeah, see? Here you go, you've got a screwdriver, you've got to make these Cat5 cables.
Yeah.
You've got the crimping toy, you've got to whack it.
Yeah, it's literally that, you know. It's like, I don't have the tools to wire up your phone network. I need specialized, like, equipment to be able to test this shit. It's like, well, we can't afford that. You're going to have to do it anyway.
Improvise.
Yeah, exactly. So that was, you know, that was basically it. And and it was just a case of fucking doing it. And it's a pain in the ass, because not only is that relevant in the workplace, but also at home, you know. It's like, oh, the fucking... the printer's not working, you know. It's like, ah! Do you know how many times I've heard that in today's day, and I come back home, and somebody goes, the printer's not working. Have you tried turning it on? that's why, yes.
Yeah, I had the same problem. Except it was, you know, I was at a server, and someone's going, oh, no. It's like a little file server in the middle of our center.
Yeah.
Someone's going, oh, the printer's not working, it's not working, it's not working. This is someone who works with me, who keeps telling me, oh, yeah, I know loads about IT. And then I turned around and said, well, ThinkWise's not working. Yeah, have you checked it? Have you tried turning it on and things? Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm not that stupid. And so I walk around the back of it, and it's not even plugged in, and the cable's not actually plugged in the serial port, for goodness sake. I'm looking at him, I'm just like, how about, putting the cable in the back of that machine there? Yeah, the one that fits.
You don't want to do that, mate. No.
It's like, try that, and it may work.
Did it work?
And it did. It works fine.
How much of a fool did he look?
Oh, extremely. It's good fun. I don't understand people's really have... I mean, they don't want to learn.
Yeah.
They want to watch you learn.
Yeah.
And so, the first thing they think of doing, oh, let's call down... let's call him down here. He knows what he's doing. I don't have to worry then. And then obviously they have someone to blame because they turn around. I don't know anything about computers, I just called him to help me because he's a genius and all he knows absolutely everything, of course. He'd know how to rewire the sun if it was able to. it just, people go over the top of things and it just makes me cry. you can't help. Wherever you go, you get no thanks and just blame for everything that goes wrong.
Yeah.
Hence today, I turn around, I had to back up a laptop, basically just copy all its contents over to a little removable hard drive we had because, we had a bit of a worry that it was going to go down. I just thought, right, I'm going to do that because I know that if I went to go sort it out and actually sit there down and work out the problem, then I would have gone, everyone would have gone, oh no, you're wasting your time, you don't know anything about computers. And, if I'd done it, oh, yeah, sure, okay, take it away. But if I hadn't, you're useless. So I thought, sod am I touching it? I'm just going to back it up and leave it for the IT manager.
Yeah.
Because it's technically not even my job. Which is pathetic. I'm now rambling on.
Well, it's a show the way you can rant away,
good ranting.
But... you can have... obviously, you're fun when it comes down to the kind of hacking side of things, and I guess that's always a good relief of tension and annoyance, is to have a good, crack at some problem or an issue or try and expand technology in ways that you wouldn't normally have ever thought about. And sometimes you do things just for the fuck of it, and people just don't understand that, especially in the whole kind of, I'm not really generally talking about primarily where I'm working or anything, but in general, in corporate sense, there isn't a lot of kind of, let's just try and see how this works, and if it fucks up, then we won't do it, sort of sense. There's not a lot of experimentation. There's not a lot of, ad hoc kind of troubleshooting. It's just so structured, and I don't like doing things like that. I try and approach each issue differently, obviously there's reoccurring problems, but then there's things that you might want to just test out. You might want to play about with something. There's sometimes ways of doing things that are, not necessarily, they're out of the box and, and
exploration.
Exactly, yeah.
It's exciting, to see what you can find. It's like, I still remember, it's like the first time I was introduced to computers, it must have been about 8, 9, we had this old SX25 that my dad was replacing the motherboard to. And we're sitting there just pulling it apart. None of us knew how to work it. And it's just, it was, almost like a thrill to be able to sit there and just rip it out.
Yeah.
Just sit there and think, I don't even know what the hell this does yet, but, you know, if I plug it in and poke things here and put some cables there and just stick a load of crap in it, then, you know, and then it's like, and then suddenly you see it all light up, and you're like, yeah, and now it's faster, just because something I've just pissed about with.
Hmm.
It's just, that's what I love. That's the thing I love, just ripping things apart and putting them back together in a weird way.
And also, I think, in a kind of school sense, people have stepped away from the whole, learning through making mistakes. Mm. I think the biggest part of my kind of computer knowledge was personal education through basically fucking things up.
Yeah.
Taking things apart, seeing how they worked, usually breaking them in the process and then trying to fix them, and then you find that you've made them either better or different or something like that. And through education in kind of schools, I don't remember ever having the chance to be able to do that because, well, obviously things just cost too much to be fucked around with. And, you know, the only time you could really do that was at home. I think if they introduced a kind of sandbox method of education in school, I think that would be great. If you had like an hour to fuck around with technology and play around with it through, you know, other kind of electronic classes and stuff, you might get a better profit in your education. However, I think those kind of things are mainly left to very expensive public schools and boarding schools, whereby people do actually get to experience those kind of different kind of mentality to education, whereby you're left on your own. Nowadays, especially now in this kind of era, education is spoon feeding, whereby they actually give you all the knowledge that you need to do. Education is now down to how can you actually learn to pass a test rather than how much knowledge you actually have to be able to bring it as a skill. You know, wisdom is judged a different way to skill, and I think the most important thing in life is being able to utilize your skills. And I think skill is greater than wisdom because wisdom comes through skill. And they're greatly neglecting the ability for that kind of intelligence being built in schools. And I remember when, you know, you're much younger, you were able to fuck around and, you know, design a technology and cut things up and do stuff like that. You can't do that anymore. You can't, you know... You have to abide by the curriculum and what actually is going on, and you don't have a lot of play, which is detrimental to the future of our forthcoming working class, basically.
Exactly. I mean, how many inventions do you think were sat and really severely thought out? A lot of them were from just exploring. People were doing things with something else and thought,
precisely.
Shit. Brilliant idea. Why don't I do that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're formulating ideas into people's heads, if you're sitting there, you know, this is that. I mean, it's becoming like, I mean, I know it's a bit of an extreme way to explain it, but like Crip said the other day, like the 1984 world,
yeah,
where, you know, they say 2 + 2 = 5, it's 2 + 2 yeah. is 5. Because they're being taught that. They're being told that. They're being,
exactly.
And then that's all they need to know to pass their exam. Well done, they pass the exam, they know everything.
Yeah, I like to think of it like right now. Do you think the parachute would have been invented right now? I don't think so, because it wouldn't have been, you know, health and safety.
Yeah.
You know, because first of all, you have an idea. Well, let's say, okay, somebody jumps off a roof and they're going to break their legs. So we need a way to stop them from breaking their legs. And you calculate the amount of weight, the falling, and the amount of resistance you need to create in the air. And maybe you fuck it up, maybe you get it right, but eventually somebody's going to get hurt. Now, you know, I don't think that gives a lot of play to kids. And I think the most important part of education is through play, which I did a lot of when I was younger. And I think that contributed to my ability to have some sort of skill in electronics and computers and stuff like that. Although I don't, you know, promote myself as being any good at it, but I guess you know, when you socialize with other hackers, you get the same or similar story to as how you, you know, matured.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for example, I mean, the people that I admire the most that helped me out, you know, to be, you know, in the career path, in the kind of the frame of mind that I'm thinking, and the, you know, my knowledge in computers, I thank my parents for, because I've got so much encouragement. I had so much help. You know, I mean, obviously it was my dad that first, you know, decided he wanted to rip apart a computer, and he showed me, you know, how to do so, and then, you know, left me to play around with my own one.
Sure.
I mean, that's an amazing thing. Now, not only that, it's then the whole story of my, you know, me in school in IT was, I was in IT. Unfortunately, you know, I found many, many ways around the old crappy RM.
Yeah.
System, you know, play around such things like changing all the logon screens to have my name on it and things like that, just messing around because it was fun. Mm. You know, it's the same thing as, you know, going outside and having a fag out the back. You know, it was exciting at the time. And, you know, you'd go in there, that's what, but the thing is, instead of saying, oh no, you shouldn't do that, but, you know, and explaining things why you shouldn't do it, and why, you know, why you shouldn't vandalize servers and stuff like, you know, why you shouldn't download viruses, they literally just, you know, they kicked me out of IT,
yeah,
wasn't allowed back in, wasn't allowed to touch a computer. Because of that, never got on my IT teacher, and I got kicked off my GCSE just because he sabotaged my coursework, so...
Yeah.
I mean, it's the way it goes. It's because the schools don't really give a crap about you so much. They're, you know, a lot of teachers just want to get paid now.
Sure.
They don't have the teaching how to explore. Yeah, that's
basically what it comes down to, yeah. Well, do you have any comments on this, Planet?
I think, yeah, I agree with you guys. It's something we've touched on before, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just teaching them, these are the facts, learn them, you'll be fine.
Mm.
Not opening minds and letting them think for themselves.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I don't know if, do you agree on the argument that they pretty much teach you how to pass the exam?
Yeah.
Rather than how to actually express what you know.
Yeah,
correctly.
Why you should be interested in that subject.
Yeah.
I mean, just steering away from technology for a minute, I always thought history was the dullest thing ever.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see the point of it, yeah.
Yeah, so we were just being taught the facts, this is what happened on this date.
Yeah.
Remember that date. This is what happened later because of that date.
Yeah.
Now then, this guy did that. Oh, okay. Remember all these things, you'll be fine. And they taught us... about old English history, they taught us about World War One and World War Two, and I found it really dull. The minute I left school and I started reading books off my own back and started talking to people who actually knew about things,
it became very interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
absolutely fascinating. And I'm just amazed by such a U-turn such as that. You know.
Yeah, I share the same experience with you. I found history extraordinarily dull. It was probably one of my worst lessons. And then once you kind of step out of that and you start to take it up by yourself, it becomes incredibly interesting. And I sometimes surprise myself when I, you know, think about technology. Sorry, when I think about history and what's happened to, you know, so-and-so and past revolutions and stuff like that. And you start digging in deep into your own sources of information rather than being spoon-fed from a book and, you know, this is what happened, remember this date because they're going to ask you on that test, and that kind of spread across the whole spectrum of education. And I found, funnily enough, IT one of the most boring subjects because it was so fucking stupid, like, oh yes, this is Excel, this is a cell, this is a column, you put stuff in columns and you put stuff in cells and stuff. Ah, fuck, I know this already, I can fucking do this. It's like, I don't want to be stuck doing this shit for like the rest of the year. I can like do this in the first day and then like start doing some real shit like programming and stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I never really, I had to leave school very early, because it just got on my tits, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I had exactly the same thing. I'm sure Planet's the same as well. It's just, it's when they, I mean, they try and teach them, but they won't have the actual expansion to teach everybody.
Yeah.
To help everyone else. they will only limit it to, for example, you know, the students obviously that don't know as much. And so then you've got, the, you know, maybe even in as it was in my class, the majority of the class knew what they were doing. Yet the teacher still stuck to his curriculum, stuck to his lesson plans, and taught the same things over and over again. And everyone was sitting there going, we know this, we know this. You know, give us the coursework early then, we'll go do that, and let's do something different. But no, it was, you know, it just went on the whole year. Everyone then got bored, no one turned up, and things went downhill.
It is really bad teaching,
But then again, it's the people nowadays.
Yeah. It's all them young kids, they don't know what they're getting. Damn it!
They're too busy texting the mates and sniffing glue, according to what I've read in the papers.
Yeah, but we used to do that.
Yeah,
Or was that just me?
Oh, God.
We used to sniff glue and pass notes in school. It's kind of old school, what they're doing there.
Morse code, was it?
Yep. Tapping on the desk.
Well, so I still remember it was when I used to write in the weirdest things. I mean, I'd just been kicked out of IT for 2 weeks, and so I was given paper to read from, and it was just a bit of paper explaining binary.
Yeah.
So that was when I learned binary. I just sat there and worked it out. Yeah. I was so goddamn bored. And so everything I wrote to a mate, yeah, we both kind of, you know, then learned it. He, you know, he wanted to learn it as well. But we just wrote messages to each other in binary throughout boredom. And I think that taught me more in, like, 2 weeks than it did in that, than I ever learned.
Oh, yeah.
Being in the lesson.
Definitely. I mean, at first, when... I don't think you can ever teach somebody binary by explaining it to them, like, verbally. I don't know. Maybe I just learn differently. But I cannot learn anything like that. I have to learn it visually. Yeah. And when I did it, it was like... Once you get it, it's like, fuck, this is so simple. Yeah. And it really is very, very fucking simple. And it just depends the way, it just depends on the way that you learn it. And I don't think that teachers or the education system really accounts for different methods of actual learning. And that some children or whatever, teenagers, take in information differently and slightly differently from others. Some people could be regarded as highly academic, but they could never survive on their own. And some people could be considered retarded, but then be highly intelligent. And, you know, let's take an example like Einstein, maybe, you know, who was actually expelled from more than one school during his younger years because he was... You know, he was just, like, off his hook because he, you know, didn't really want to stick to the plan. He was always messing around. He was always very, not hyperactive, but wanted to do what he wanted to do in terms of experiments, and he was pushing the envelope. And the rigors and the inflexibility of the education system couldn't account for that kind of thing. But then, you know, it turns out, you know, 20 years down the line, he comes up with a fucking fantastic formula explaining relativity, and then goes on to work out the equation of E equals MC squared, and now we have nuclear power. So it's always those kids that you should look out for.
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, it's a whole thing. People have to work things out on their own.
Yeah,
they have to be, or at least being given the way to work things out by themselves. I mean, yeah. Back to the binary subject, for example. I mean, yeah, I worked it out. But you sit there and look, and you work out a pattern. It's like nonverbal reasoning. Yeah, you can't exactly teach someone nonverbal reasoning. Yeah, some people can see the pattern brilliantly. Some people can't. And so it's just finding your own method, your own way of learning.
It is really, like, some people actually can get it and some people cannot get it, full stop. And you can't teach somebody to learn. You cannot teach somebody how to learn things. They have to pick it up by themselves. It's a bit like The Matrix. I don't know. Different people have different methods of actually educating themselves. And I think the greatest thing you could ever do is find out how you can do it. And once you've mastered your own ways of your own way of educating yourself, then you can actually progress, and you'll see tremendous success once you've achieved that. And I'm talking personally here. Once I actually got the confidence to be able to understand that I can't learn certain ways, full stop, it's very difficult, and other ways I can learn so quick. You know, I can pick something up that would take me a month to do in less than a week. And I literally learned binary in the space of a day. You know, it was like, fuck, this is getting to me now. I know how to do this. Something clicks in your head and away you go. You know? It's just once you've figured out your method. You know, people actually earn, people get thousands and thousands, if not millions of pounds from actually, you know, having kind of courses whereby they teach you how to learn. You know, people are, it's big business, actually. It's actually a very hot topic.
Such a strange thing. That's just another way, of another ploy to get so much money.
Yeah.
It's because then the people that worry and you know, get a little lazy sometimes and think, oh, I'll just go on one of these courses. It'll be much easier than I can. It'll help me learn how to learn, if you know what I mean. And then these, obviously, then these people are making loads of money out of just basically saying, you've got to do it by yourself. I think we should go into business with that, you know?
Yeah.
We'll teach you to learn in a day. And go learn yourself. Go away.
My first hacker. What do you think about that, Planet? I mean, do you agree that there's, I don't know, have you, are you kind of like a visual person, or are you more down to, you know, written form of learning, or?
I'd have to say I'm very visual.
Yeah?
To be honest with you, yeah. Talking about binary there and the ways you learn it.
Yeah.
When I was in IT at school, we didn't have one IT teacher, we actually had three. For some insane reason, and we only had IT twice a week,
right?
So you never knew what teacher you were going to get. Now, two of them were absolute arseholes, couldn't care less. Turned up, did the lesson plan, they knew the shit, they just couldn't be asked to teach us, couldn't be asked to answer the questions, and they just had a really monotonous voice going, well, here's how you program in BASIC 10, print, I'm a gimp. And you were falling asleep. Now, the third guy, it was an American guy, he was only temping there for a short time.
Right.
Now, the first day he came in, he ripped one of the computers out of the wall without unplugging any of the cables. The cables unplugged themselves when he ripped the computer far away enough from the wall. And he says, right, they tell you you're never supposed to touch the school computers, is that right? And we're all sitting there in shock going, yeah, we're not allowed to touch them. He goes, right, sod that, pulls the screwdriver out of his pocket, flips the lid off it, and goes, right, there's a hard disk, there's a processor, there's a motherboard, there's the RAM. And we all go, wow, this is brilliant. And it was that guy who taught me binary just by putting it up on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And he just drew a grid system. He says, well, start from the right-hand side.
Mm.
This column here, that represents one. Now, it doubles every single time. That's all you got to remember.
Yeah, by two.
Therefore, the next one's two, the next one's four, the next one's 8, 16. Yeah. Don't worry about it. If
and
we
then,
have a zero there, a zero there, a zero there, and a one there, it means that the output of this is one.
Yeah.
But if we change that to a zero and that zero to a one, then the output's two.
Yeah, it just means you turn... I don't know, the way I did it was... Yeah, exactly. The way I did it was just have a line of numbers going from... 1 to 32, let's say, and then you know, you turn on the ones at the bottom and off whichever ones you wanted, and then you just add them up, which is the simplest way. So you're like, okay, so 4 is on and 1 is on, that means that it's 5 in binary.
Yeah.
And then it's just a very simple step to go from there to hex. You know, and then you can take binary to hex, from hex to decimal to everything like that. And as you said, yeah, it's really you've got to find the way you learn. And usually, on the whole, I don't know, maybe I'm going a bit way overboard here, but usually for hackers, it's a very visual kind of learning process.
I agree with you totally there. I've noticed, I was going to say it a bit earlier, it's every single person that I've ever met, that, you know, that's, I mean, all the hackers I've met, the group,
yeah,
always love their visual learning, always do it by hands-on, yeah, you know, trying it for themselves. I mean, I don't think I've ever met someone that's, oh yes, I read How to Hack out of a book and learn.
No.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, you remember, you know, Firefox?
Yeah.
For example. You know, he started off, he first came along, and he said, oh yeah, I've been reading this book, and I've been looking at this book, I've reading this book. And then, at the end of the thing, he said he's learned more than he's ever learned in his whole entire life about hacking, just by coming to one of the meetings that he has from ever reading a book.
Yeah. Precisely. And that's, you know, I don't know how many of you guys have actually used kind of like nuggets and visual teaching methods, whereby it plays a little shockwave file and the guy goes through all the steps and stuff. And I did this mainly through my MCSC qualifications and stuff like that. And I thought, that's fucking excellent. It's an excellent way of learning. And that was when it kind of clicked on that side of things. And it's such a boring thing to learn, but it's such an easy way to get it in. And I think what kind of Iron Geek does is very cool, because that's exactly how hackers learn, really. You know,
yes,
it's a very visual, very in control way of doing it, because you can actually pause, rewind, fast forward, and do what you really want to do when you're actually trying to learn stuff, you know, which is excellent, because you can always go back to it. You know, you've got your own private tutor there.
Definitely. I think that's really good. I mean, I've always wanted to do something like that, but obviously, unfortunately, you never get the time, goodness, or actual presentation to do such a thing. But
well, I mean, he does some good work, and there's always lots of good stuff out there like that on the internet. And I know that there. I think another bad thing is if this show is going to be about education and IT. Is e-learning. I don't know how many of you are actually aware of this whole e-learning thing. It's a little buzzword created by the government, whereby you sit certain kind of examinations or modules through the internet using a web-based system. Basically, you log into your e-learning browser and all this kind of bollocks, and you go through this and you click, 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 a little test. Now, I thought that was probably the worst way to actually do some kind of learning is through the computer, whereby you are actually educating yourself doing a test on the computer, because it's just so fucking distracting. It's like having six televisions on at the same time while you're trying to memorize Shakespeare.
You know, that's quite a good way.
Unless you enforce this thing in a set kind of environment, then it can actually work. But the kind of things that I've seen through secondary school, and you know, I've been participating in a few of those systems, and it's just so distracting, because not only do you have your question there, you can also copy and paste straight into Google and get the answer. You know, it's just like, okay, this is, you know, completely going totally against the whole method of actual education. It's just too easy to cheat and so distracting. Yeah. I don't know, has anybody got any comments to that, or?
No, I'm just thinking out. I should be going to bed soon.
Yeah.
I'm a little sleepy man.
Yeah, I think Planet's fallen asleep in the back there.
I'm still here, mate. I'm pretty knackered. I just pulled a 12-hour shift at work.
Lovely. Ooh.
Like a fool.
But, yeah. You know. Well, I think we'll cut it 10 minutes early, because, I did fuck up on the whole pause record kind of thing, and I guess I'll have to remind myself, put up a few more stickies on my computer monitors.
You're listening to this on the archives. Those missing minutes were hilarious.
They were really,
really good when we're not being recorded, I swear.
Yeah.
Comedy geniuses, honest.
No, that's
interesting,
why
interesting topics.
Exactly.
Works.
they were really fucking, well, it was good, but that's why I think we more people should listen to the live show, because you get to hear all the stuff that all you lazy noobs out there don't get the chance to hear. But yeah, so I'll leave you
getting the director's commentary.
Yeah, exactly.
On DVDs.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll leave it there, and I think I'll end on what is it? Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
The Robots from 1977. Fantastic tune.
Cool.
Very cool band. And thank you for listening to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. As always, you can email us. Send an email to radio@hackervoice.co.uk. I've been Bilal.
I've been TC.
Okay.
And I've been Planet Wave.
My bad.
Yeah. Have a good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow, hopefully with a fully featured episode.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to my favorite internet radio show, Hacker Voice Radio. It's even more yummy than ice cream.